Well, good morning. Grab your copy of God's Word. Go with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. As I've done all throughout this series, we're in our third week now with this series here. I want to introduce to you this morning a person. Her name is Jill. You may notice Jill up here on the screen. You may notice that Jill has a beautiful smile. But you know what? That smile covers over 57 years of pain. Jill was born and raised in a small, typical Midwestern town east of Indianapolis, Indiana. She remembers a lot of joy in her early childhood, but everything changed on November 10th, 1965. It was a Wednesday, and it was a Wednesday that she would love to forget but will never be able to get it out of her mind. Jill, she had been home for a couple hours or so from school. She, at the time, was 6 years old, really enjoying first grade. She was in the living room playing with her little brother when somebody knocked at the door. Jill's mother got up and went to the door to answer it. And of course, like little kids do when somebody knocks at the door, Jill and her little brother ran behind her mama to see who it was. And there, standing at the porch when she opened the door, was a sheriff's deputy. Good evening, ma'am. Is this the Johnson residence? The deputy asked. Well, yes, it is, officer. How can I help you? Jill's mother replied. Are you Miss Johnson? Yes, I am. By this point, you could see some fear and some tremble beginning to work into Jill's mama's voice. The deputy continued, Miss Johnson, my name is Deputy Richards, and I'm with the Hancock County Sheriff's Department. I'm sorry to inform you that your husband, Vern, was in a serious car accident coming out of Indianapolis this afternoon on Highway 52. Jill's mother, she immediately became shaky and tears welled up in her eyes, but somehow she managed to push it back and ask, is he okay? What hospital is he in? The officer paused for a moment because he didn't want to give the answer. Ma'am, I'm sorry, but your husband passed away at the scene of the accident. Little six-year-old Jill's life was changed forever. Her mother, still filled with, so much grief, married again just 7 months later. Looking back, Jill would have loved for her mama to just take a little time just to heal, not to be on the rebound, but being a single mother raising two kids back in the 60s, man, that was tough. And so she kind of married quickly. She married a local man named Carl. Carl became Jill's stepfather. And Carl was nothing like Jill's daddy. He had a terrible temper. He would often take it out on Jill's mother. When Jill was 9, Carl began to sexually abuse her. And that continued off and on until Jill was 13 years old. And to be honest, Jill's still not sure why he stopped. But she's glad he stopped. The death of her father and the abuse of her stepfather deeply wounded Jill's soul. She decided that she would do anything to get out of that house. And so the first boy she could marry, she ran off with and got married when she was 17 years old. And that marriage, it blessed her with two children, but lasted only 11 years, ending in 1987 when her husband left her for another woman. Jill swore that she would never marry again and would just simply raise her two kids on her own. But in 1991, Jill met Larry, and 4 months later, they were married. Now, Larry was a few years older than Jill, but he was divorced like Jill and had two children of his own like Jill. And Larry, he was a really good husband, a really good father, a really good stepfather. Jill and Larry, they had a wonderful marriage for almost 25 years. But in 2014, Larry was diagnosed with cancer. And in 2015, just last year, he lost his battle. Jill is now a 57-year-old widow. and her past is filled with brokenness and heartache. I mean, to be honest, she's had more than her fair share of misfortune, hasn't she? Underneath that smile is a lot of hurt. But a neighbor has been reaching out to Jill, telling her all about the hope that's found in God. You see, Jill has always believed in God, but just never really made him a big part of her life. In fact, I mean, to be perfectly honest, Jill is angry with God. And you can maybe understand why from a human perspective. I mean, she blames God for most of the pain in her past. Well, recently, Jill's neighbor was telling her all about how God loved her, the love of God, how much God loves Jill. And the more Jill listened, the more she thought about her past, her father, her stepfather, her first husband, and then Larry's cancer and Larry's death. And eventually, Jill just sort of had a mini explosion inside and just blurted out right in the middle of her neighbor talking, "God doesn't love me. I don't think God could love me." Brothers and sisters, that's the title of this morning's message. I don't think God could love me. Now, your story is likely very different from Jill's, but maybe you've come to that same conclusion this morning. God doesn't love me. I don't think God could love me. Whether you've been driven to that conclusion by what you've done or by what's been done to you or simply by bad theology, that conclusion is still maybe your conclusion this morning. God doesn't love me. I don't think God could love me. You may think, I'm too sinful, preacher. I'm too worthless. I'm too broken. I'm too whatever. You fill in the blank. I don't think God would want me. I don't think God would or could love me. Maybe you're here this morning, you believe in God, but you doubt God's love for you. Today, we're continuing in our series we're calling Christian Atheist. And I said this a few weeks back when we began the series, but the idea for this series came from a book by the same title, Christian Atheist, that Pastor Tom and I read, by Craig Rochelle. It was published back in 2010. A Christian atheist is somebody who claims to believe in God, but lives like God doesn't really exist. Beloved, and I'm calling you that this morning purposefully. I know I call you that in the other Sundays, but today it's very purposeful. Beloved, I declare to you this morning that a person who believes in God yet doubts God's love is a Christian atheist. Now, for most of us in this room, we would never say that God doesn't love us. We're convinced God loves us. At least we're convinced most of the time. You see, there are moments, there are maybe even days where we doubt the love of God. They may be few and far between, but when they hit, they hit. And you're left wondering, you're left asking yourself this question, how in the world could God love me? And that's this morning's task. Today's task is this. We're going to answer that question, how in the world could God love me? I'm convinced that the greatest place in Scripture to help us answer this question is 1 John Chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. And what I'm about to read here, guys, it's not a feeling. This is fact. This is Scripture. This is truth. Whether you feel it or not, it's true. Here's what it says. 1 John 4, 8 through 10 says, God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This morning, church, I aim to show you that not only could God love you, but that indeed he does love you. To help us, I'm going to use the acrostic love, L-O-V-E. How in the world could God love me? Well, let's look first at the L in love. L, here's the L. Learn that you were made for God's love. Learn that you were made for God's love. 1 John 4:8. Three simple words. God is love. Say that with me this morning. God is love. Say it again with me. God is love. That tells us that the very nature of God is love. Love is His very constitution. It's not just something that God does. Notice we say that again. God is love. We didn't say God shows love. We didn't say that God gives love or God acts lovingly. It says God is love. Love is who God is. This is very important. It's very foundational. If God is love, listen to me closely, if God is love, then there's never a moment in either eternity past or eternity future when God has failed to love or will fail to love. Also this morning, if God is love, God has always perfectly loved and always will perfectly love. Now, if you look back at 1 John 4:8, there's no conditional here. It doesn't say maybe God is love or if God is love. It just states the fact God is love. So that means that you and I can take that if clause, that conditional clause that I just said, if God is love, and we can replace if with since. Let's try that again. Let's replace if with since in those two sentences I just said. Since God is love, then there's never been a moment in eternity past or eternity future when God has failed to love or will fail to love. And since God is love, God has always perfectly loved and always will perfectly love. Isn't that beautiful? Scripture here proclaims that God is love. That means that God's very nature is to love you, to love you. We often sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. Finish it out. For the Bible tells me so. Now, regardless of what that big name preacher down in Georgia told his congregation last week, even though he might have said that we cannot count on God's love simply because the Bible tells us so, That's baloney, okay? That's hogwash. The Bible is where we learn that God loves us. And the Bible clearly says, God loves us. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And since Jesus is God, we could replace Jesus with God in that song. God loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Jerry Bridges, you know, one of my favorite theologians. Didn't y'all read a book by Jerry Bridges? Yeah, great. Trusting God, one of the greatest books on suffering there is out there. I highly recommend it. But Jerry Bridges said this about God's love. He said, God's unfailing love for us is an objective fact affirmed over and over in the Scriptures. It's true whether we believe it or not. Our doubts do not destroy God's love, nor does our faith create it. It originates in the very nature of God, who is love. And it flows to us through our union with His beloved Son. I like that quote. I think that's very true. It's an objective fact. Whether we feel it, whether we believe it or not, God loves us. And we know that God's love is seen in big and small ways. For instance, there are small, maybe even what we would call impersonal ways. For instance, Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 45. Matthew 5, 43 through 45. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And here's the reason. Notice this. We're to love because of this, so that you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends his rain on the just and the unjust. What's that saying? That's saying here, we're loving because we're to love our enemy because we're imitating God who loves both the just and the unjust, both the righteous and the wicked. And how does he do that? Well, in seemingly small, impersonal ways, by causing the sun to shine and causing the rain to fall. Now, I say this is impersonal. Honestly, we may pray for rain, but I've never in my life gotten up and prayed, God, would you please cause the sun to rise today? I've never prayed that. I just take it for granted. It's going to happen, guys. But every time the sun rises, that's the love of God being manifested to us. We also see God's love in big and very personal ways. I love the way God is portrayed, with the way that God portrays himself in Zephaniah 3:17. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Listen to this. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I love the picture here. This is a God that loves you. He adores you. He adores you. One time a guy tried to list all the categories of people that God loves. He said, I think I'll just begin with the letter A. And so he began to come up with a list of all the categories, all the types of people that God loves, beginning with the letter A. And here's what he came up with. God loves artists, astronauts, aerospace engineers. He loves accordion players, ankle biters, animal rights activists, airplane pilots. He also loves athletes, acrobats, and accountants, even during tax season. God loves people from Alabama, Alaska, Africa, and Albania. God loves absent-minded people, awkward people, assertive, authoritarian people, antisocial people, and aggravating people. Praise God, huh? Yeah. He looked at what he came up with, and he decided, he liked it so much, he decided he would try the letter B out. Here's what he came up with. He wrote, God loves babies, babes, boys, bankers, and band leaders. He loves ballerinas, Bible readers, biology teachers, bird watchers, bus drivers, including the bad ones. God loves bookworms, bachelors, botanists, bowlers, baby boomers, and boomerang throwers. He loves beekeepers, yes! BBC watchers, blondes, brunettes, and even people with blue hair. Even people with red hair. God also loves bores, the beat up, the burned out. God loves bosses, braggarts, bag ladies, bartenders, brats, people with braces, bushmen. And God even loves Baptists. Amen? Amen. I'm not sure if he continued all the way to letter Z, but he could have, couldn't he? But A and B, that's enough for you and me to get the picture. God is love. He made you and me for his love. He wants to shower you with his love. He desires for you to experience his love. He loves for you and me to love his love. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. I thought the Westminster Shorter Catechism said, I know you were thinking that, right? I thought the Westminster Shorter Catechism said we were made for the glory of God. Right? What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. But here's what I would say to you. I'm saying that God made you for his love. One of God's greatest glories is that he loves you and me. He loves animated dirt in one sense, right? Right? We are spirit-filled, animated dirt. He formed us from the dust of the ground and breathe life into us. God's glory is magnified exponentially by his love for us. Psalm 136, verse 26 says, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 36, verse 7, how precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Beloved, God is love. Therefore, you were made for God's love. How in the world could God love me? Let's look at the O. Here's the O. Observe that you don't deserve God's love. Why would I point that out? I just told you you were made for God's love. Why now? Why would I go and to this point? Why would I want you to see that you don't deserve it? Because the fact that you deserve it makes it sweeter. Amen? It makes it sweeter. Observe. Look here at 1 John 4:10. 1 John 4:10, in this is love. And maybe I don't underline things in my Bible. I'm just weird. I don't write in my Bible. I know some of you do, and that's fine. It's not a sin, all right, to write in your Bible. But if you're an underliner, you might want to underline this for just a moment here because it highlights the grace of God. Not that we loved God. Do you see that there? Not that we loved God. He goes on to say this, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation of our sins. Guys, we've not loved God as we ought. Amen? We've not, right? We've not. And the fact that it even says propitiation here, we talked about this a few weeks ago, that points to our need to be propitiated for. If Christ came as our propitiation, there must be something that we need to be propitiated for. There's something that has raised the wrath of God. And what is that? Well, that's because we've sinned against God. The first three of the commandments, of the Ten Commandments, deal directly with our relationship with God. Deuteronomy 5:7, you shall have no other gods before me. Have you ever put something ahead of God? Then you've not loved God as you ought. Deuteronomy 5:8, you shall not make yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that's in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Don't make any idols. Have you ever made an idol that you worshiped more than God, or you yourself made an idol out of something of God? Then you've not loved God as you ought. Deuteronomy 5:11, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold you guiltless who takes his name in vain. Have you ever taken God's name and made a promise with it and didn't follow through? Have you ever said God's name flippantly? Well, then you've not loved God as you ought. Jesus took all this and summed it up really easily. In Matthew 22, 36 through 38, a teacher there of the law, a lawyer, asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And here's what Jesus said. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. That's the first commandment, right? That we're to love God with all of our being. But you and I have fallen short in that. Not only with our love for God, but also with our love for man, which is a reflection of our love for God. Continue there, Matthew 22, verse 39. Jesus continued, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So guys, as a result, we don't deserve the love of God. Instead, we deserve wrath. We deserve wrath. Romans 2:5. But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Wrath is what we deserve, yet God loves us. God loves us. Guys, that makes the fact, right? The fact that we've earned wrath, we don't deserve his love, that makes his love even more amazing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a what? A wretch. That's what we are, wretches, according to Scripture, spiritually. yet he loves us anyway. How in the world could God love me? Well, let's look at the V in love. Here's the V. The V is visualize God's love for you in the cross. Visualize God's love for you in the cross. John here says the perfect illustration of God's love is the cross of Jesus Christ. If you want to see God's love, then you look to the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse 10 again. 1 John 4:10. In this is love, not that we've loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Where did that happen? Where did the propitiation for our sins happen? It happened on the cross. When Jesus Christ bore our sins, when Jesus Christ paid the penalty that you and I deserve, when he took the curse that was given to us upon himself. That's where that happened. On the cross, he covered our sins. And I'm reminded immediately of 1 Peter 4:8. 1 Peter 4:8. Here's what that says. It says, love covers a multitude of sins. Guys, that means that on the cross, the love of God was poured out. The love of God rained down on the cross. How much does God love us? Maybe you've heard it before. From one nail-scarred hand to the other one, right? That's how much God loves us. It's demonstrated on the cross. And he didn't do this for righteous people. He didn't do this for good people, right? We don't deserve it. Romans 5, particularly verse 8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's a beautiful, beautiful passage. We didn't deserve it. We weren't ready. We didn't earn it. Yet he loved us. You know well, John 3:16, that says, it just gives us the whole motivation there for why God sent his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. How in the world could God love me? Let's look at the final letter here, the letter E, in love. E is experience God's love for you through Jesus. Experience God's love for you through Jesus. Look at verse 9, 1 John 4:9. 1 John 4:9. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only son in the world. All right, we've got him in the world. He came to live and die. But here's the purpose for it. So that we might live through him. We need to experience God's love through Jesus. We come to Christ. That's the way we get the fullness. Now, he loves everyone, right? God loves everyone. Amen? But if you want to experience the fullness of God's love forevermore, that's only found by repenting of your sin and believing in Jesus. And here's the beauty of the gospel. God has made it so easy for us to do that. There are no hurdles to jump. There are no prerequisites that we have to meet. We simply have to come in faith, repentance, and love and receive it. In fact, he's loved us so much. Look here, just a few verses later, 1 John 4:19. He's made it easy by loving us first. We love because he first loved us. It's hard to love people that don't love us, isn't it? Right? Back in the early spring, we went cat shopping. Y'all ever been cat shopping? It's a lot of fun if you like cats, okay? And Christy took Elizabeth there down there to PetSmart or wherever it is there by Best Buy, and took her in to find a cat. And they found the perfect cat. This cat was a year old. It met all the things that she wanted in a cat. It was a beautiful cat. we had it in a little box and you could look in through the holes and it would meow and we'd meow back. It was just beautiful. There was love in the air. I mean, you could feel it until we got home. You know what I mean? When we got home and let that cat out of the box, we didn't see that cat for 2 weeks. It was gone and it was in the house. It was in the house, gone. I finally found it. We locked it in the bathroom because we said, well, we need some cuddle time, me and this cat. I need to show this cat how much I love it. And so I'd get in there and I would hold it and pet it and scratch it and all those things. And it would purr a little bit and I'd purr back and blah, blah, blah. The links you'll go to for your kids, right? But as soon as the door opened, it was gone and we looked everywhere. Little did we know that it had found a hole in the box springs of Elizabeth's bed and was up in the box springs. We finally figured it out. Well, after about 2 weeks, we said, we love this cat, but this cat does not love us. And so we traded in. We took it back to the Humane Society, and we eventually found a cat. And now we don't have one cat. We have two cats. I've heard that cats multiply. These haven't yet, thankfully. All right? But guys, in that instance there, I did everything I could to show that cat that it loved, that I loved it. But it wanted nothing to do with me. Guys, can I just say to you this morning that God has shown you the greatest way he can that he loves you? The question is, will you receive that love? Will you receive that love? Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Here it is, who loved me and gave himself for me. God loves you, beloved. Yet you and I, we are still imperfect. We're still imperfect. We're spiritually ugly, but God loves us anyway. He still values us. I don't often do the grocery shopping. Christy will not let me because I like things that cost a lot of money and things that aren't particularly healthy, all right? I mean, a whole cart of Oreos would be just fine with me, okay? And so she doesn't let me go often, but so I've not seen this, and I don't even know if it's here in Kentucky, but did you know that Walmart's now selling ugly fruit and vegetables? Have y'all heard about this? Walmart's now selling ugly, quote-unquote, fruit and vegetables. Ugly fruit and vegetables, they never make it to market, all right? They get sorted out and all that stuff. But just a couple of months ago here in July, Walmart, again, which is America's largest grocer, it says it's going to pilot this plan where it's going to sell damaged apples, right? Not damaged, but weather-dented apples at discount. It's going to do this in Florida, okay? And on the bags, here's this label. You probably can't read it from there, but it says this, I'm perfect. You can't see it on the bag, but that's how they labeled it. These are imperfect apples that have been labeled perfect. Man, I think there's something in that, right? That we can think about this. You and I, we are not perfect. You and I have spots and wrinkles and all sorts of things that sort of are turning off, displeasing. Yet God, not because of what we are, but because of who he is, he has labeled us perfect. In fact, he has made us perfect through Jesus Christ. Not only are they selling apples, they're selling potatoes. Here's what they're selling these potatoes. Check this out. They're called Spuglies. Ugly spuds. Spuglies, all right? Guys, we're often spugly, okay? But again, this morning I invite you to Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you say, I don't think God loves me. I don't believe God could love me. Can I just, as nicely as I can, say back to you, you don't know my God. You don't know my God who can overlook these things and actually not just overlook, but he actually redeems those things in us to make us perfect. God loves you despite dents, despite scars, despite sins, despite shortcomings. And you say, okay, preacher, you've convinced me. God loves me. What should I do with this love? Just Write these three down. These are free. They won't be on your screen. Three things. What should you do with this love? One, you should receive it. Two, you should rejoice in it. And three, you should re-gift it. That love doesn't stop with you. Share it. Because God has loved you, you should be the most loving person on the planet. Receive, rejoice, and re-gift. 1997, I came to know the love of God fully through Jesus Christ. God loves you. Would today be the day that you, for the first time, I came to Christ in 1997. Would today be the day that you would come to Jesus and receive the fullness of his love, not only now, but forevermore? Here's my final prayer. May God's great love for you change your life today and forevermore.